This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khatamil anbiya wa sayyidil mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi al-ghurril mayameen. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi samil alim min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I am honored to be here with you today to talk about a very imminent topic, a crisis we face today globally. You may not have heard about this before. Things I'm about to share with you, because we, the Muslim community in general, are by the grace of Allah very peace-loving, down-to-earth, law-abiding citizens. And if things are going fine for us, we don't really look into global issues. But as our Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, that we are like a body. We are one body. If one part of the body hurts, the entire body is affected. And based upon that very principle, I would like to share a few things with you. Islamophobia. What is Islamophobia? Commonly understood, it means an irrational fear of Islam. This is how it is defined, generally speaking. But now, unfortunately, it has become normal to criticize Islam, to attack the Prophet of Islam, or to even attack his followers. And these attacks take place in a number of different forms. As I speak right now, in fact, this very morning, I read an article that in Austria, headscarves for girls have been banned. I don't know if you came across this. I watch news very carefully. I read articles very carefully. And we must all do it. We live in a very important age, an age where information spreads like wildfire, thanks to social media. And if we are missing information, that we are at fault. If we don't know what's happening around the corner, then we are the ones to blame. We need to understand our situation locally as well as globally. We as Muslims cannot afford to think anything other than strategically. We have to be strategic in our living. Time is one of those things the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned about. That if you lose time, you lose everything. It's one of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in this article, it stated that headscarves have been banned for Muslim girls in particular. Sikhs with the turbans and the Jewish people with the skull cap are exempted. So specifically targeting the Muslim children to take away the identity from them. And this is happening throughout the West. You live in a very beautiful country, South Africa. And you may have a very good situation going for you. But as they say, what goes around comes around. When winds blow, they blow everywhere. You cannot stop it. So before this problem comes to you, you need to know about it. We are facing it right now in Britain. In fact, this week, a definition agreed by a number of academics, a definition of Islamophobia, was put forward to the British government, and the government rejected it because they feared that The government will not be able to do a job against extremists or terrorists. This is the pretext that was used to reject that particular definition. The Muslim community is with the government when it comes to working against extremism and terrorism. We are not a terrorist people. We are not responsible for what some crazy people are doing around the world. This is a business between those governments and these crazy people. We, the Muslims, generally are victims. So how do we deal with this problem of Islamophobia? How big is it? It is actually global. It has spread throughout the planet, and this is not the first time. Muslims have suffered from Islamophobia in a different form in the past. Don't make a mistake, it's a historic disease that comes up, that raises its head from time to time, again and again. For example, what happened in the past? The Mongol invasions. We survived them. Alhamdulillah. Nothing like that happened in human history, let alone Muslim history. The Mongol invasions, when the Mongols came in, they were particularly Islamophobic. They hated Islam and Muslims. Therefore, the desecration of Islam from China to all the way up to Syria took place. Close to 10 million Muslims lost their lives. And that was purely because of Muslim lack of response, Muslim lack of strategic thinking, Muslim lack of understanding of the situation. Imam Ibn Kathir states that there came a time in Baghdad when the Mongols came in Baghdad in 1258, when the last caliph, the Abbasid caliph, was killed in cold blood by the Mongols. A woman would come with a sword. A Mongol woman would come with a sword. She would line up Muslims. They would be all lined up, and she would tell them to wait until she returns. She would return with a sword, and she would start chopping from one side of the line, and she would go all the way to the other end without any Muslim flinching. This is how terrified the Muslims were of this menace. Why was this happening? There are many causes of it. My time doesn't permit to go into Mongol invasions and why they continued and why Muslims suffered so daily. To put it in short terms, Muslims did not have a proper response. Muslims did not understand the situation. Same thing happened during the Crusades. Muslims were the victims. Innocent people died in the millions, in the hundreds of thousands. And one of the major reasons was lack of unity. Lack of unity among Muslims. Muslims are too divided. Muslims are too sectarian. Muslims are politically divided. They were not one block. Once they became one block, the Mongol invasions were checked. The first army to defeat the Mongols was in Egypt. The Mamluks, they were able to stop the Mongol advance. And in India, the sultans of Delhi, people like Sultan Ghiyasuddin Balban and his successors like Alauddin Khilji, Jalaluddin Feroz Khilji, and Muhammad bin Tughlaq and Ghiyasuddin Tughlaq, all these people, they fought the Mongols to protect India. Nowadays, when you turn on the news channels, when you watch Indian news channels, there's a lot of Islamophobia. Do you agree? Am I making things up? The BJP government comes to power by inflating hate against Muslims. This current prime minister wants to come back to power by offering the destruction of Muslims to the Hindutva movement. And this is not conspiracy theory. This is the reality. This is exactly what's going on in India. Donald Trump came to power in the US by inflating hatred against Muslims, by talking about the Muslim problem. My question is, where is the Muslim problem? There are more people dying of dog bites and alcohol consumption and domestic violence and drug abuse in the West than there are being killed by Muslim terrorists. There is more terrorism on the part of white supremacists right-wing racist establishments than there is on the part of Muslim terrorists. Why is the problem inflated in this way? Muslims have become a convenient punching bag for some political establishments around the world because we have become the Mongol Muslims. We are suffering from the Mongol syndrome. This is what I call it, the Mongol syndrome. We are suffering from it. Right now we are in such fear that we cannot even lift a finger to protect ourselves. And I'm talking about protecting ourselves intellectually, economically, politically, educationally. These are the fields we have lost. These are the fields we have neglected. And this is where the solution will come in. Unfortunately, the time I've been given is very limited, so I have to fit in all these points in the short span of time. So it is very clear that Islamophobia is real. There is one of the largest concentration camps right now as we speak in China. The Uyghur community has been locked up and the world is in denial. How do I know the world is in denial? Because nothing's being done. There is no outcry. There's no global outcry. When that newspaper was attacked in France, Charlie Hebdo, I don't know if you remember, some journalists were killed. We don't agree with that. And there was a global outcry. All of these global leaders, they turned up to Paris and they made a big demonstration. They walked on the streets of Paris to express their solidarity with the newspaper. It was a caricature newspaper, and there was a point in that as well. It is another matter that the newspaper was actually attacking the Prophet of Islam, making caricatures of the Prophet of Islam. No condemnation of that, but there was a condemnation of the murder, which we don't agree with as Muslims. We don't agree with that. We do not agree with any extrajudicial activity on anyone's part. We are a civilized people. We follow a civilized way of life, which comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in the Quran and it is in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is him, the man, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who told us to be civilized. Even in conflict, we have to be civilized. We have to follow the rules and we cannot break those rules. So these leaders came and they demonstrated, rightly so. But my question is, bigger catastrophes are taking place as we speak right now against Muslims. No global outcry. Why? Because we have lost value for ourselves. We think it's not a problem. We think we live in South Africa, we live in the US, we live in Canada, we live in India, we live in Burma. We are all divided. We're not one block. We're not becoming a body. If I took one of you and pinch your finger, or prick your finger with a needle, you'll all see this person jump, right? But when all of these things are happening against Muslims around the world, on that scale where concentration camps have been made, what's happening in Gaza right now, you've seen Syria, you've seen Burma, hardly any global outcry, not effective enough to stop it. So this is what Islamophobia does. What Islamophobia does, it starts with demonization of a community. In newspapers, this Christchurch attack in New Zealand was not a random event. It has a background. The background is global demonization of Muslims. Muslims have never faced demonization in the entire history on this scale. Let me repeat. Muslims have never faced demonization on this scale in the entire history, despite the Mongol invasions and the Reconquista in Spain and the Crusades and all those other things that happened in Muslim history. Never before a campaign had reached such magnitude. And what follows demonization? Dehumanization. Dehumanization follows. And what follows dehumanization? Constant concentration camps. Mass murder. Because all sympathy has been taken away from you. when a community is dehumanized, and the Prophet was sallallahu alaihi wasallam dehumanized. The Prophet was demonized, but did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sit and watch and did not defend himself? When the Arabs, their medium was poetry. When they wanted to convey a message socially, they would say it in poetry. So there were some Arab poets demonizing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their poetry. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew the importance of poetry, that this is what really moves the Arabs. This is what moves the Arabs. So what did he do? He put his own poet on the member, Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anh. He put him on the member. He didn't ignore. He didn't not defend himself. He put his poet on the member and he said, defend me. And he said, Ya Allah, help, support this man with Ruhul Qudus. Ya Allah, support him with Jibra'il. And Allahu Akbar, the poetry he came out with, Hassan bin Thabit, Wa ahsana minka lam tarakattu ayni, Wa ajmala minka lam talidin nisa'u, Khulikta mubarra'an min kulli aybin, Ka annaka kad khulikta kama tasha'u. No woman my eyes have not gazed upon a more beautiful face than yours. No woman has given birth to a man like you. You have been created free of all faults, as if you were telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to create yourself. Allahu Akbar. The defense of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Imam Ahmad, he said, never before such beautiful poetry was uttered in the Arabic language. Hassan bin Thabit. This was the media of the time. And we, the Muslims, this is where we are being beaten badly, the media. It is not in our hands. International media, global media does not sympathize with you. If that was the case, all of these atrocities against you would have stopped. And I can understand that in South Africa, you are in a very lovely, peaceful situation. And may Allah keep it that way. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of you. Because this place has a very particular historic context. A lot happened here. And that political or that historic experience is the reason why you may have a good situation here. But things can change. Things can change fast if they're not preempted, if they're not studied. You as Muslims need to understand the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he went through and what you may be going through today. It is very similar in many ways. But the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not lazy, laid back, it's not my problem, shrug your shoulders, turn away, I'll see what happens tomorrow. None of that. That's not our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet was on top of things. He could see things coming his way and he preempted all these problems before they reached him. And where they didn't reach him, he stood by, he stood his grounds. So, what are the problems we're facing today? Media, education, politics, economics. So these are the solutions very quickly. How do we deal with these problems we're facing today? How do we come out of the Mongol effect? You know, where people would be lined up and they would be one after another, they are being executed and they're not flinching. And you know, this will only escalate if we don't stop it, if we don't raise our voice, we do not do things to stop it. And how can we stop it? Invest in media. Invest your children. Too many Muslims are becoming accountants, doctors, lawyers. Everyone's thinking of the stomach. How will I fill my stomach? I go to the university, I want my stomach to be filled. I want food to be in my stomach. But Allah has promised you that Allah will protect you. And believe me, when your mind is full, your stomach will never go empty. When your mind is filled with information, knowledge, and nur of Allah, your stomach will never go empty. Mark my words. But if your stomach is full and your mind is empty, then there is no guarantee you will have food tomorrow. There's no guarantee. So worry about your minds, brothers, not your stomachs. So all people, and this is a general statement, most Muslims, when we study for our stomachs. What do we have in our minds? When we send our kids to the university, my child will become a lawyer and he will have a good job. Doctor, good job, good money, good car, good house, and the child will take care of us. This is how we think. We can only see our little world, but we don't see our children in the grand scheme of things. How Rasulullah ﷺ conditioned his companions. You see, these people, these Arabs, were a very simple people. They were a bunch of goat herders and camel shepherds. That's all they were. All they knew was their goats, their camels, and their palm trees. What happened to them within 50 years that they took the world by shock? In a positive way, they brought justice to the world. They established what we call the Islamic civilization, one of the best things that happened to humanity. Islam was one of the greatest achievements of human history. Muslim civilization, most importantly, achieved the heights of morality and ethics never reached before. That was the best achievement we had. Our scholars were the best scholars in the world. The Arabic language was the lingua franca of the civilized world. Our universities were the top universities in the world. To an extent that Europeans were traveling to Muslim lands for 5 centuries, for 500 years. European scholars were traveling to Baghdad, to Damascus, to Qartaba. And you see this art on top of me in this arch. La ghalib illallah. La ghalib illallah. The inspiration came from Al-Andalus, Alhambra Palace. That was one of the greatest achievements of Muslims. It was so great that when Isabella and Ferdinand, when they took over Granada in 1492, the same year when Christopher Columbus landed on the Americans, not in America, on the Americans. That's another topic in itself. That very year when they came across, they destroyed everything. They destroyed 1 million books of Muslims. 1 million books were burnt in Granada to destroy the legacy of Islam from Spain. But when they came across Alhambra Palace, they said, we cannot possibly destroy this piece of art. They chose to be buried there. Muslims were the most bookly people in the world. Unfortunately, we have become the most bookless people in the world. I would like to thank, finally, Al-Ikhlas Academia Library for inviting me to address you today. Also, there is a course tomorrow we are conducting in the same library from 10 a.m. onwards, 10 to 3 p.m., 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and the course talks about much of what I addressed in a very brief way in this speech. And the topic is the legacy of Islam. In this course, we will see how Islam was one of the best things that happened to humanity. Please do attend the course. Those of you who are free tomorrow, it will be a lifetime experience and you will not be disappointed. It's free to enter, by the way. So, finally, last points. Solution lies in problems. When you look at problems, that's where your solution is. Where are you being defeated? Where are you actually being struck? You are being struck on the media front. You have completely ignored, neglected media. You cannot make your own movies. Your children have to watch from the very young age Lion King, Aladdin, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, those who come from my age group, right? Tom and Jerry. This is what your children are watching. Even the Islam they're learning is from Aladdin. And when you watch the car, they're being conditioned. Your children are being conditioned because you have completely neglected this field. You are not giving them solutions, alternatives. What games are they playing? GTA, Grand Theft Auto, a game that glorifies violence, promiscuity, destruction. What parallels do you what alternatives do you have for your children? What movies are they watching? They're being inspired by Bollywood and Hollywood. You've completely, what journalists do you have? How many journalists do you have in South Africa who are effectively involved in mainstream media, who are sitting there making sure that Islam is not taken for a ride? How many? There are close to 1,000 Muslims here. I don't need all of you. We don't need all of you. We need about 10 of you to go and study journalism and excel and go and take important posts in the world of journalism. Write articles appear on TV programs, defend your faith and your civilization and your identity. That's when you will feel that Islam is a real power. It's a real strength for good in the world. Islam never supports extremism. Islam can never be an extreme way of life. Islam, if anything, is the solution to human problems. On top of that, education. When you seek education, do not neglect humanities. Don't always run after your stomach or to fill your stomach. The purpose of education is to make this world a better place, not to make your stomach a better place. This is a very important distinction we have to make. Most people, when they study for the stomachs. Education. Invest in your children. Do not neglect their education. Educate them, most importantly, about your civilization, your identity, your Muslim identity. Make Islamic history, Islamic philosophy, Islamic literature a dinner table occurrence every single day. Talk to your children about Islamic civilization, Islamic figures in Islamic history. Talk to them about the Prophet, the Sahaba, the Muslim leaders, the Muslim scholars, Muslim luminaries, Muslim mystics. Talk to them about them. Let them know who they were. If you talk to your children today, time is up. I have to finish very quickly. You talk to your children today, you ask them about a footballer, Ronaldo. Your children will give you his genealogy. They will tell you what tribe he came from, when he got married, how tall he is, how old he is, what he gets paid. You talk to them about Hollywood stars, they will tell you exactly what they are and who they are. You talk to them about Muslim luminaries, and they will be blank. Whose fault is that? We are affected by Mongol effect. We are at the moment going through this period of Mongol effect. We have completely lost our attachment to our civilization. Another solution we need to look into is politics. Get involved politically. I'm not talking about haram options. I'm talking about halal options. Are you telling me there are no halal ways to get involved in politics? There are plenty of halal ways. When there's a will, there is a way. When there's a will, there's a way. Find ways to get involved in politics in the halal way. Fill those gaps. Go and take those places they belong to you and represent your people. This is why we are being struck left, right, and center. We are the most powerful people on the planet without knowing it. We have the best resources. We have gold reserves. We have diamond reserves. We have petrol. We have all the minerals you can imagine in the world, and yet we don't control them. Why? Because we have very few people who understand the economic system of the world. These are the areas where we're being struck badly, we are being hit badly, and we're still not waking up. So brothers and sisters, finally, last point. Think about your lives strategically. This life will run out. You will die very soon. Learn from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a diplomat par excellence. He wrote letters to the kings of Persia and the kings of Rome. He wrote letters to establish diplomatic ties with them. He did not neglect the media of his time, poetry. He had a poet defending him. So we learn from that. When his character was attacked, when Allah's character was attacked, he defended. He stood up for his rights. When the battle of Badr took place, captives came to him. What did he say to them? You will go free. Teach my companions. Give them education they do not have. We don't want your money. Keep your ransom. Give us that education you have. Teach my companions how to read and write. You will go free. This is the importance of education. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. This is your Lord speaking to you. Is the one who knows equal to those who know not? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Your value is in what you do with your lives, your intellectual activity, your education, your involvement in politics, your involvement in economic provisions, and this is what makes you powerful. If you don't have your hands in these things, then wait for another Mongol invasion to wake you up. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.